Well, we all know that the holidays can be tricky. When we are honest and have heartfelt reflections on the holidays, we actually realize that our hearts should be pulled in a couple different directions that don't always seem to fit together. On the one hand, we want to feel joyful. That's important and valuable. And on the other hand, we also want to be mindful of the reality that so many people are suffering with real problems. And most of us are connected in many ways to that suffering. So it makes you wonder, how can you be joyful and alleviate suffering? And that's sort of the tension that we always want to embrace in the holidays. So, I think one example is here on the anniversary of the Sandy Hook, when there's still way too much gun violence, including children as victims in our neighborhoods in Philadelphia and around the country. And we wonder what we can do at the holiday season. It makes you want to get a little extra creative or even desperate. And I found a suggestion from a UU minister, Robert Fulgham, that I think for just a crazy idea that might apply right now. He says we should develop the Crayola bomb. The Crayola bomb is the next secret weapon. This is a happy, beautiful bomb. And you explode it above the neighborhood with a soft explosion, and it comes down with thousands of parachutes into a neighborhood of Crayola boxes. Not little boxes with 8 crayons, but maybe the big box with 64 and its own sharpener, a huge rainbow of colors. You would have silver, gold, copper, magenta, peach, and lime, and they would come down into the neighborhoods that are struggling right now, and people would look at each other and think, what the heck is this? And start getting little smiles, and then open their packages, and then start creatively coloring their neighborhoods. Might not be a bad idea. Innocence is the spiritual theme of the month. It's a tough theme no matter what, and it's a challenging theme at the holiday time. 2 weeks ago, I talked about how at Thanksgiving and Christmas, we do not benefit from getting caught up in just relying on myths of pure goodness. We cannot focus only on the story of a baby being born and bringing love and joy through his life. We have to remember the other Christmas stories, the other stories that are happening now at our Christmas time that also involve a lot of ongoing institutionalized badness. Bad things happen to good people, suffering and lack of choice. For example, a Christmas story that is happening now is a lot of people are fighting wars around the world, and we're paying for a lot of them. We're paying for drone strikes that are happening and killing too many innocent people. Right now, Christmas story that's happening is we are all participating in emitting carbon at alarming and destructive rates for the problems. We have to find a way to fit these things all together, and it feels challenging. Fortunately, I believe the tough realities that some people think I shouldn't talk about at Christmas time, but I think we have to, they should not cancel out. Rather, they should reinforce the need for two primary spiritual purposes of the holiday season, being joyful and being helpful, helping. Harvard professor Robert Thurman studies the relationship between science and spirituality. And Thurman articulates the value of the holiday season by saying, our human heart thrives on being happy. The human heart thrives on being happy. And our power and greatness comes from the ability to see a vision of happiness. A vision of happiness which often involves helping with gentle kindness. So the holidays, I think, help us because they give us many visions for what happiness can look like for us. Now, unfortunately, many times these are complicated. We have to see which ones are really helpful. There's a lot of problematic images about how we can be happy at the holidays. Of course, the biggest challenge comes in consumerism. Attractive gift catalogs, compelling television ads trick us into thinking what an image looks like of being good or showing love with a great gift, often an expensive gift. Of course, giving nice gifts is not mutually exclusive to showing love in any way, but they are not necessarily the same thing. From our own experiences of giving and receiving, we know gifts can be given with no love. Gifts can be attempts at making up, mending a bridge, without any of the relational work. Or even at their worst, they can be attempts to manipulate feelings. I think another trap at the holiday in terms of visions of happiness involves jealousy. I can't read your holiday card right now because I'm jealous of all the things that you're doing, and it makes the images of my life look so unworthy. Makes my vision of the holidays not look very good. So how do we get out of these traps? How do we claim authentic visions of joy, which will help us claim our goodness and our helpfulness? I think just put aside the innocence thing. Most of us adults, I think, are not truly innocent. You can disagree. But one way to claim our joy, claim our goodness, is to act like a child. Just act like a child. So I offer two spiritual exercises from this month's small group ministry curriculum. First spiritual exercise, take some time to connect with the child who lives within you. Claim your inner child. This is not a flaky assignment, if you're thinking it is. This holiday season, visualize yourself as a young child who is happy and free. You may not have had as much happiness in your childhood as you wanted or deserved, but visualize it now. What can you do to further experience the joy and courage and spontaneity of childhood? Can you act like a kid and jolly it up a little bit? Huh? What do you think, people? Give me a little hand signal here. Can you give this a try? Okay. Now, I know I often benefit, so I definitely act too serious at times, and I need to remind myself to relax. Sometimes I like to pretend that I'm still that 8-year-old boy singing by myself in the living room with the radio. "'Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy." You don't have to care if you're good when you're 8. That's the thing. Now, who listens to 101? B101 at the holiday season? Only one? Oh, everyone, come on. This is great. You got to try it out. It's so fun in December. Sing and dance. How many people like to pretend they're Elvis Presley? No? I'm the only one? Chris. Diana Ross. "It's a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time, it's a swell time to go riding in a one-horse sleigh." Whatever your thing is, whatever your thing to embrace your inner child, get on the train, go down to Macy's for the light show, and act like a kid when you're down there. Which connects to spiritual exercise number 2. Spend some time with the child in your life. Sometimes some of us don't need any spiritual exercise to do this. But spend a time with grandchild, niece, a nephew, a friend's child, child of the church. And let the child take the lead on what you do during your time. And spend some time focused on the child is seeing the world through his or her eyes. This is where I think the parents could focus more. Sometimes we don't really focus on how the child is taking note with innocence and a sense of wonder and awe. Really try and channel that. Let the holidays and acting like a child and spending time with a child help you claim your joy and your goodness? I think these are your birthright. Now, don't feel bad if you have a tough time getting into joyfulness. If that's true, you're not alone. I think here's a story which is representative of many of us. Who knows the story of the creation of the song "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas"? I think Linda might know. No? "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas"? Background on? I think you're close. Okay, so it was written for Judy Garland to sing in the movie Meet Me in St. Louis. Hugh Martin and his partner Jeff Blaine were assigned to write the music, and the now famous song was written for the Judy Garland character to sing to her younger sister, who was in tears about the family moving from Missouri to New York City. Probably because, like many of us, the songwriters struggled with the troubles of the world. The first version of the song was too bleak for Garland and the executives. The first version sang, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. It may be your last. Faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us no more." So Judy and the executive said, "You guys got it. We're not singing that. It's going to bum people out. Nobody will go to the movie." And actually, in later versions, Frank Sinatra also lobbied the songwriters to change it. And they eventually lightened it up. "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, the troubles will be out of sight." So here's the thing. I think in our hearts and in our brains, in many ways, our lives are like specific songs. We have certain scripts and lyrics that we think, that's my song. And I think a lot of times we get clicked in a little too low on the joyfulness. We get a little too serious in adulthood, and we lose some of that joy. So I think sometimes we have to rewrite our songs. And we have the capacity to do that. You have the capacity to change your song. So this holiday season, if you are going to mope around, rewrite the song and go sledding. If you were about to go on a not very helpful spending spree at the mall, rewrite the song and take a walk in the woods. If you are feeling jealous, rewrite the song and sing and dance with yourself in the living room. Eat some pumpkin bread or peanut brittle. Get yourself some hot chocolate and enjoy it like a child. Put the marshmallows in there, of course. George Bernard Shaw said, "We do not stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing." So no matter how old we are, let's keep playing. When we're good at claiming our childlike joy and goodness, we can share the power of that experience with others. Happy holidays, everybody. Blessings of joy and goodness to all creatures of the planet.